Now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. So during a visit to the mental asylum, the visitor asked the director, how do you determine whether or not a patient should be institutionalized? Well, said the director, we fill up a bathtub, then we offer a teaspoon, a teacup, and a bucket to the patient and ask him or her to empty the bathtub. Oh, I understand, said the visitor. A normal person would use the bucket because it's bigger than the spoon or the teacup. No, said the director, a normal person would pull the plug. Then asking, do you want a bed near the window? Sometimes a person can live around the wrong but accepted normalcy for so long that he loses sight of reality. Take love as an example. One of the great gifts of Christianity is love, at least truly understood. But we live with and around the word that's tossed back and forth, love, so much that it's hardly ever understood as God would have us understand it. And we're sort of in jeopardy of our culture going insane because of a huge misunderstanding and perversion of what the word love means. It's not that people didn't or don't love without Christianity. They have and can. It's that they never really understand exactly the love that surpasses all love until the dawn of Christ in the world and in their lives. At least God's love was never articulated anywhere else, quite like the love song that's in our epistle reading for this Sunday, just before we begin to make our Lenten journeys. And it comes from 1 Corinthians 13. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. The word for love in these verses, like most of the references to it in the New Testament, is quite unique. Secular ancient Greek had a number of words for love. The most common one, though, sounds familiar to us, was the word that actually meant sexual attraction and romantic infatuation. Just like our culture today, when you use the word love, that's what you know is commonly understood. Another word for love in secular Greek had to do with love among friends and family. But when it comes to Christianity, a completely different word for God's love was used by St. Paul and by Jesus. The kind of love, according to a saint in the 12th century named St. Bernard of Clairvaux, said had 4 degrees of love. Based on 1 Corinthians 13. It's been remarked of Bernard that he had more insight on loving God and love than anyone since St. Paul. And probably no one has ever risen to the astute insights of this one little essay that Bernard of Clairvaux wrote in the 12th century on the 4 degrees of love based on this wonderful epistle reading. Bernard said that the first degree of love is love of self for self's sake. Now, love of self is natural. I mean, we're born doing this. And it is not necessarily bad. Jesus, after all, did say, love thy neighbor as thyself. Did he not? Because we love ourselves, there's a natural motivation to take care of ourselves. This natural human affection, according to Bernard, comes from God. But this natural love of self, as we know, can be very quickly perverted. Second degree of love, according to Bernard of Clairvaux, is love of God for self's sake. He says this is really where Christians begin their walk with God. Bernard says, when we suffer some calamity, some storm in our lives, we turn to God and we ask for his help, calling upon him in times of trouble. This is how we who only love ourselves first begin to love God. What we rely on ourselves for, in a moment of crisis, we begin to turn to God. We'll start to love God even if it is for our own sake. We love because we have learned that we can do all things through him, and without him, we can do nothing. And again, this is not necessarily bad, but this is typically where we begin as Christians, loving God to get things that we need. And that too can quickly pervert, can it not? The next and third degree of love is a bit more advanced. In the first degree of love, we love ourselves for our own sake. In the second degree of love, we love God for our own sake, chiefly because he has provided for us and rescued us. But eventually, we must learn to love God, not merely for our own sakes, but for himself. Whether we get anything out of him or not. There's a whole book in the Bible about this, and it's the book of Job. That we mature to the point where we love God even when things go poorly for us. We don't turn on God. We don't blame God. God didn't create sin. Why? We did. We created sin. But how quickly we do that when things don't go quite like we want them, or, God forbid, difficulty strikes our lives. It's then that we're tested. Will we love God for who he is, even when we're not getting what we want? But St. Bernard says, that's not the highest degree of love. That's a great step beyond that other degree of loving God to get things out of him. But there is a fourth degree of love. And it's love of God to the extent that our love and God's love move together so that we love what God loves. According to Bernard, this degree is only experienced in snatches and momentarily in this life, and the great saints are the ones who rise to this level of love. It's a love that so catches one up into God and doing God's will that he has to pull himself away to tend to his own self's needs. St. Bernard uses some analogies. He says, to reach this state is to become Christ-like, as a drop of water into wine loses itself and takes the color and savor of wine. And a bar of iron, heated red hot, becomes like fire itself, forgetting its own nature, or as the air, radiant with sun, beams, seems not so much to be lit as to be light itself. So for those who are holy, all human affections melt away by some incredible mutation into the will of God, so that our love is molded together with God's love, and the two flow together. Loving God, loving others, loving ourselves the way God does. The propers for this Sunday are perhaps best expressed in one of the most memorable lines in all the collects in the Book of Common Prayer. All our doings without charity are nothing worth. It means if love is not in it, it's not worth anything. No matter how great or magnificent a feat it might be, if love's not in it, it's not worth anything. Bottom line of 1 Corinthians 13. But perhaps now, after this brief summary of Bernard's incredibly profound insights on loving God, we better comprehend our human efforts are worthless without love. God's love grown in the soil of our soul. And thus, we are called to begin Lent. You ever thought about why this passage on the love of God right before we begin Lent. It's because Lent is to be about learning to love God and do what we do out of love for God. It's about trying to rise through those 4 degrees of love to the 4th degree as we move through Lent. At the end of this season, we will meet the cross on Good Friday. The words of the following poem: I will not work my soul to save. I will indeed live my life for Jesus Christ. May we learn in this Lent to live our lives out of the love of God. Amen. Let us remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, who said, it's more blessed to give than to receive.